You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Rump steak. Purged aubergine.
Yes.
Egg. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95BFM?
Indeed, and we've fallen upon fortunate times. Stars aligned, and we have one of the public service broadcasting members in the building.
Yes.
He just waved to everyone out there that listening on the radio. You can't see that, but he did wave to you all out there.
It's one of those weird scenarios where you've got to re-meet someone because we've obviously been hanging out for a little bit beforehand.
Yeah, we've got to forget the conversations we've had and try and pretend like it's all novel and new and exciting, haven't we?
Can we extend a warm welcome on behalf of New Zealand to you and your band? We're very glad to have you down here. You're obviously playing tomorrow night at the Power Station. And I myself am very excited. I got you to sign all my records.
He's just had his records silver penned. John thought he lost that pen about half an hour ago, and it wasn't a classy scenario.
No.
Yeah, it was like a nice little skits out.
Oh dear.
I just wanted to say I had a dream last night that I was getting my records signed.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Great.
And I handed them to you.
Yeah.
And you scribbled all over them. So
isn't that basically what it is?
That's normally the kind of guy I am. So you're just lucky. It's one day out of every 100 I actually do sign them. But yeah, normally I just vandalise them. So
how many records has Public Service Broadcasting got under the belt?
We have 3 studio albums and a live album that we recorded at Brixton in London.
Okay, cool.
There is a CD copy of that floating around the library, actually. I have seen it. I know it's on the playlist.
Hmm.
Was there anything in particular that you're really proud of from that particular session? Of your own material?
What, Brixton?
Yeah, Brixton.
I think just doing Brixton, you know, it's for anyone who doesn't know Brixton Academy, I don't know why you necessarily would, long way away.
Is it like the Apollo of that area?
Yeah, it's about 5,000 capacity. It's got a lovely sloping floor. You can get in late, you can go down the side and cut in and go, you know, get out to the bar, get to the toilets easily, get a good view. All the best bands play there. It's not too big. You know, it's not like arena sized. It's not like arena sized. It's you can still have like an intimate occasion there, but it's, you know, you can still put on a decent production. It's like big enough that you can get some good stuff in there. So it was just always like a lifetime ambition, really, since I first went there age 14. I think I saw the Manics there age 14, 15, and dreamed of playing there, but never thought it'd happen, and it happened. So yeah, there you go.
Took that one off.
Yeah,
nice.
That's what life's all about, you know, ticking things off, and then that's the road to happiness, isn't it?
I guess you kind of, it's one of those great things where you can tick something off and then on to the next.
Yeah,
sort of challenge.
Yeah, although there wasn't really one I didn't think, because that was kind of, you know, I didn't expect to ever get anywhere with this, so that was kind of like the ultimate dream, and it happened. So yeah, we were a bit rudderless after that.
Shall we slip into what we sort of tricked you into doing a little bit earlier? We asked you if you'd select a few tracks for us. No real agenda, just tracks that you dig, and maybe you just give us the reason why, and you've started with a Talking Heads one?
Yeah. For anyone who hasn't seen the film Stop Making Sense, the live concert film, I think you'd say it was a live concert film. It's directed by Jonathan Demme, and it is, I don't know, I watched it, and if you make music, maybe it's not a good idea to watch it, because I watched it and thought, why has anybody bothered doing anything
since, one of those ones.
This happened? Because this is the best thing that's ever happened anywhere.
Do you think it's the band he assembles?
The band are incredible.
He's just got the
theatre of it as well. Yeah, the theatre and the kind of the way they lay bare the mechanics of it, you know, it kind of starts with a simple bare stage and the roadies are pushing things on one by one, and they're kind of playing with it in a kind of mildly pretentious arty way, but doing it with, you know, good humor as well. It's just the perfectly constructed and executed show, and that's why I was like, why are we bothering? Why does anyone bother? But yeah, this is one of my favorite Talking Heads songs as well. It's perfect.
Thank you.
a classic, shall we say, from the Talking Heads there, as selected from Public Service Broadcasting.
Jay Wilgus, Esquire.
Yes.
On the selection. Hey, oh, by the way, I don't know, because you never get to hear these sorts of things because you live in a different country, but can you confirm if this is you or not?
Hi, this is Jay Wilgus, Esquire, from the band Public Service Broadcasting, and you're listening to Johnny and Big Hungry on 95BFM.
That is me.
Now, yes. Now we should kind of deal with time travel or something. This is weird. You ever want to have to deal with that in the movie?
Yeah, that was late at night for me, so I'm amazed I got it right.
I can't even remember what day I spoke to you, whether it was a Saturday here or...
It was a Wednesday for us.
Okay.
Most important day is tomorrow. You're playing the Power Station.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, very excited. We're very excited. We tried, I think when we came over for WOMAD three years ago, we tried to get an Auckland show in, but for various reasons, I don't think we were allowed to.
Okay. Like an embargo scenario.
Yeah, it's reasonable enough. You know, they're paying for us to come over, totally, so they want to try and get people down there.
That festival's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing.
Went and travelled down to the festival to see you guys play, and it was wonderful. I think did you play the Friday and then closed out on Sunday?
Yeah, I think we did kind of finish it, weirdly. I don't know why they chose us for that. Maybe just to get everyone out, you know, like, right, we need to empty the site, let's get these two losers on.
Was it just the two of you at that stage?
Yeah, just the two of us. JF Abraham, who's now the third member, he was playing with us in the UK, but we couldn't really afford/justify bringing him for that time around, but thankfully we can now, so yeah.
Sweet. Is he doing some other task as well to make it, so he's like sort of the roadie.
No, he's kind of graduated to full
no, he's on the poster, class. I've seen the poster, he's there.
He's diva class musician, you know, not lifting finger like the rest of us.
Yeah. You've actually just come off a couple of dates in Australia, haven't you?
Yes.
Just got off the plane, John, come straight here.
Was it a festival you were playing?
Yeah, we're doing a festival called Groove in the Moo, which is, I think it definitely skews a bit younger than what we're used to, certainly back home. Which is kind of a challenge in its own right, but also...
You'll buzz the kids out, Eric.
Yeah, it's pretty good, because, you know, you've got to think about your set in a different way and try and work out how to get it across in a way that's going to kind of connect with people. And you know, we were looking out the other day, and she can't have been older than, like, 17 or 18, but this girl was up on someone's shoulders just, like, yelling along to go, and you're just like, this is great, you know?
Yeah, totally, man.
Yeah, seeing younger folks connecting with it is fantastic.
That's the goal, right? To make anyone connect.
Yeah. You know, we at festivals at home, we get young kids, like 5-6-year-olds, jumping around going crazy to it, and we've had, you know, I think the oldest person we've had at a gig so far was, like, 92 or something like that, so it's
cool, hey?
Spanning the ages.
I think one of the radical things for me is taking that old audio and kind of giving it a new life, whereas otherwise people wouldn't really hear it unless they were looking for it on YouTube or something like that. You know, it forces people to go hear about a different time or a crazier rad event that happened, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of the idea, I guess. And not just kind of looking backwards, but trying to bring it into the, you know, the present with some kind of relevance or some kind of implied twist or comparison.
Yeah,
it,
right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
So it's not, a lot of people kind of think, and I think it's think wrongly, but you know, it's not for me to judge, but a lot of people think it's some kind of exercise in nostalgia, but no, I'm not kind of a person who looks backwards.
Nostalgia's a lie, isn't it?
Well, it's just lazy as well, and I don't think what we do is lazy, because I think it's more about you know, kind of like trying to sort of reconnect moments from the past to the present rather than just purely viewing them as things that happened in isolation. So, yeah.
Right on. Hey, speaking of the present, you've gone and the next artist is quite current?
Yeah, well, it's a new album from her. I think she's had about 7 or 8 albums, but she's based in Portland, Oregon, and she's...
Oh, that's the spot, isn't it? It's where all the music's sort of coming out of a little bit, isn't it?
She's a really good guitar player. She's called Laura Veers, and yeah, she's fantastic guitar player, great voice, and her records. She's married to the producer Tucker Martin, who's done the last couple of My Morning Jacket albums and loads of cool stuff like Decembrists and stuff like that. So her records always sound amazing as well, because they obviously work really well together as a team.
Wow.
And this title track of her new album, The Lookout, is a really beautiful song.
Yeah.
Very nice. Laura Veers, that track was called The Lookout, as Mr.
J. Wilgoose, Esquire, Wilgoose, from the band Public Service Broadcasting, informed you all before. He's in the studio with us right now for an impromptu What's Cooking, where he is selecting some music for you, the BFM listener.
That's fact. Those are all facts. Mm. Well done, John. Good.
Just bring everyone up to speed. Maybe just tuned in.
Playing tomorrow night at the power station. Do we know if anyone's opening for you guys? Do you know? I know that's real. I should probably have found that out myself, but
I don't remember being sent anybody, actually. Normally we get sent a few acts and you kind of choose the one.
Jewel. Great. Okay. Great. So it's a nice upbeat band as well. So the crowd will go right on through the evening.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry for not knowing that. But I don't think that's something that's come through me, whereas normally it does. So it's not me being rude. Sorry.
Nor me, actually. I'll jump on that. Apology.
So you are down in New Zealand. You've got a visual show as well.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. Are there any teasers that you would tell us about the show?
Well, I mean, I guess we were talking about Brixton earlier. You know, some you could kind of go online. There's a couple of tunes from Brixton that, in fact, I think the whole thing's on YouTube.
It looks awesome. Yeah, I've watched it.
That's quite big scale. You know, we ended up with about 30 odd musicians on stage that night, but it's slightly smaller scale coming here, obviously, just due to kind of logistics and pragmatic considerations. But yeah, it's the three of us making as much racket as we can between us, and visuals that are kind of from the films or from the archive that we've sampled, and they've been re-edited to fit the music, and it's all kind of playing in glorious synchronization when it works. Mm-hmm. There's always a potential for things not to work, but
that's live music.
Yeah, that's my opinion of it. So yeah, it's pretty solid, touch wood, but sometimes things go wrong, but that's all right.
Maybe don't touch this desk.
Well, no, it's a solid piece of wood.
If you want to etch something into it,
feel free to scribe your name into everyone else.
That was never really my thing at school. Never really my thing. Too well behaved.
I just had I just quickly remembered a conversation that we had off air, and you were talking about some new material that you might be working on.
Mm.
Well, did you have a little bit more information on that you might be willing to share with the listenership?
Yes, we are playing an event for the BBC back home at the end of May. There's no Glastonbury Festival this year, so the BBC normally send, you know, an absolute army down to Glastonbury and live the whole weekend and they go nuts. But because there isn't Glastonbury, I think they were kind of at a bit of a loose end, so they decided to do their own thing. So they've got like four locations in the UK, and we're playing the Belfast date. And because it's hosted on the Titanic slipways where Titanic was built, they said, do you want to write something about Titanic and play at this event? And that is a pretty good kind of opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing doesn't come up too often.
Sweet.
So yeah, you know, people are going to be stood. The actual outline of the ship is still marked out there, so you get a sense of the scale and the size of it. So we're going to be playing new material based around that, like three or four tracks, and then, you know, obviously the greatest hits, because you've got to keep people happy.
Yeah, right on. So have you been like trawling some archives for conversations about the Titanic, or how does that work?
Well, it's 1912, so there's not, right, you know, it's right. Pre-radio.
Yeah,
there's not as much as people might think. You know, somebody got in touch to say, oh, the the Morse code from the Titanic is out there. It's the recording. I was like, it's not. No, it's not. Nobody was recording that. It had a range of 400 miles.
Yeah, good point.
No. You know, it barely reached the next ship over. Nobody was sat there with a little tape recorder going like, oh, I've got it.
So you're just taking brand new audio from James Cameron when he cruises down.
Do you know, I haven't even rewatched that. I was just like, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. But no, there's bits and bobs from survivors, and it's a bit more abstract in some ways. And also because it's about where it was built, you know, there is bits of, you know, it's a fantastic accent, the Northern Irish accent, and there's people talking about, you know, the proud sort of shipbuilding heritage, and it's kind of a slight link in terms of industrial centres now not being industrial centres from our last album, Every Valley, which is about coal mining in South Wales, which is obvious subject for an alternative pop album. But it's kind of a thread running between the two, so it's not as big a leap as it might seem.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah, and it's gonna be quite daunting playing it all live for the first time without anybody hearing it, so hopefully they go for it. Might be
right on. Yeah,
a bit awkward.
Oh, it's not going to be broadcasted or anything. Hey, Mr. Wilgus, thanks so much for coming in. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we are totally looking forward to the gig tomorrow.
We're pumped. Get your tickets now. If you haven't got a ticket, get a ticket. It's at the Power Station. What a fantastic band. It's going to be a great night tomorrow.
Speaking of fantastic bands, you've left us with Funkadelic.
Yeah, I heard this. We were talking about what I was doing earlier in the year. I'm lucky enough to have a 2 or 3 week holiday and heard this in a bar. I only heard the bass line and the drums and the very deep bass voice that you hear in the chorus.
Yeah.
And even just by that, I was like, what is this? This is great. And then when I heard the full track, I was like, this is amazing. So Funkadelic and Can You Get to That? It's great.
Right on. Hey, thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
That was What's Cooking on 95BFM. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.